Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
We are awaiting an update from the New York City Police Department on the man who set himself on fire outside the courthouse just a few moments ago. And it's looks like it's going to start any moment now. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here on a Friday. Happy Friday. We start off with some news that's not happy, but I understand the guy's alive. Obviously, a man with severe mental illness, because I don't know, to set yourself on fire, it's just... So we'll jump in with the NYPD update. The jury has been officially picked, and this, I guess this guy lit himself on fire after that news broke that they had officially now seated the full jury. That includes the alternates. And that is the big story of the day today, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanari of VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. The news of the jury has been set. So we have 12 jurors. We have, I believe, five or six alternate jurors. And on Monday, the nation is going to see something it's never seen before. A former president of the United States of America on trial for a criminal trial, something we've never seen before in this nation's history, for a case that is, A, if it's federal, the district attorney does not have jurisdiction. B, if it's not federal, then the statute of limitations expired. And C, if it is federal, the question then becomes, why didn't the feds decide to go after it? So let's think about that for a second here. Non-disclosure agreements. I mentioned to you the other day that I had to sign one with the Trump campaign when I worked with them in 2015, 2016. It's not uncommon to do that. And, you know, I was talking to my wife. My wife works in HR, and she spent her career in HR. And she was talking about actually somebody from a company that she's helping, and there's going to be a severance package. And as part of that, you know, they have to agree to not bash the company. There's also a period of time where, you know, there's a non-compete, there's all these other things. And, you know, and I looked and my contract is up for renewal right now. And I was talking the other day to my agent about this. And, you know, there's these things in my contract, there's my provisions. And if I get fired, which of course could be any moment now, I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. I can't bash the company for a certain period of time. Like, there's all these different things, you know what I mean? So, I mean, am I getting paid hush money? Or am I just getting a salary? And then I've agreed to these terms as part of my contract with my company, with my employer. If they can me, which again could happen at any moment now, if they give me severance, then and I make agreements to that, like I won't trash you, I won't bash you, Am I getting hush money? But either way, if this is a business issue between Michael Cohen and Donald Trump, then the statute of limitations expired. If this is a federal campaign issue, then Alvin Bragg has no jurisdiction. And if it is a federal campaign issue, then can you explain to me where it is written in Article 2 of the Constitution that presidents have to, or presidential candidates, I should say, have to let the voters know about allegations of extramarital affairs? Can you tell me where that is in Article 2? Because I've looked, I've checked the Constitution. And let's see here now. I have a copy here in my formerly raccoon dog stained fingers. And let's see here. Let me go over to that. That's a pesky Article 2 here about the executive. That's the guy who's the president, right? The president of the United States. Just kind of flip through this for a second because I want to see the affair clause. Article 2 of the executive power shall be vested in the president of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years and together with the vice president chosen for the same term be elected as follows. Blah, 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 blah. And they talk about the electors to the president. Here it is. Here's a requirement. No person, except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution, shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained to the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the United States. That's it. I don't see anything in here that says, oh, and if a woman makes an allegation that you had sexual relations with her, you have to disclose that to the voters. That has to be, you got to make everybody know that. See, I don't see that in Article 2. It's odd, right? I mean, they could have added other things too. Now, if you got drunk on grog, you know, the founders were drunk all the time. You know that, right? I mean, we had a distillery. We had a problem with the water in Philly. We still do, but back then it was really bad. And so they would drink beer all the time. And Jefferson drank wine all the time. He loved wine. Dare I say he was a wino. He died in debt. He loved wine so much, kept buying wine. And, you know, when he was ambassador to France and then secretary of state, he just kept drinking wine, loved it. Tried to grow Bordeaux at Monticello, but he just was not able to get it exactly right. But since then, a lot of people in Virginia have started growing some amazing wine. I digress. My point is that what if they had said, you can't have any debt to be president of the United States? I mean, there were offices where you could not hold that office unless you were free and clear of debt. In New Jersey, we used to call them freeholders. They're now called county legislators, or county commissioners. But at the time, you had to be free and clear of any debts. All right, I believe this briefing is starting here with the deputy commissioner. Let's jump in here. The NYPD update on the fire near Trump trial. Henry, I might be a second ahead of you, so just jump in and when it starts here. And the guy speaking is Deputy Commissioner Shepard of the New York City Police Department Public Information Bureau.
A little bit more about this information from the New York City Police Department. We'll identify who's speaking in just a moment. Let's listen in.
Obviously, we had a major incident that took place right across the street from the courthouse today. We just spoke to the mayor, Eric Adams, and we spoke to the police commissioner. They're both updated. And today you're going to hear from our chief of department, Jeffrey Madry, who will update you on the incident that took place. You're going to then hear from the fire commissioner, Kavanaugh, on the condition of all the people that were involved, their medical conditions, and then we'll have our chief of detectives, Joe Kinney, and he'll talk to you about the investigation of the incident today. So with that, I'll bring up the chief of department, Jeffrey Madry.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Shepard. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm gonna try and talk loud so you can all hear me. But at 1:30 this afternoon, right here in Collect Pond Park, which is directly opposite of a New York County Criminal Court, at 100 Center Street, where the trial of former President Trump is currently taking place. We observe a male walk into the park. He walks to the center of the park. When he's in the park, he starts shuffling around his clothes. He opens up a book bag. From the book bag, he takes numerous pieces of papers, pamphlets out. He throws the pamphlets throughout the park. And then he pulls out a canister and pours some kind of liquid on himself. A liquid we believe is an accelerant, and he lights himself on fire. the male, he takes a couple of steps while he's on fire, and then eventually falls onto a police barrier and falls down to the ground. He's on fire. Another area in the park where some of the accelerant spilt is also on fire. Civilians, court officers, members of the police department, they run into the park. They make efforts to put him out. They use their coats. They use fire extinguishers. Eventually, FDNY responds. We're able to put the male, extinguish the fire. And from that point, we remove him to Cornell Burn Unit, where right now he's there in a critical condition. At this moment, I'll let our fire commissioner talk about the condition of the male and the condition of people who also helped and who are witnesses over there. Commissioner?
Thank you. As the chief mentioned, the victim is in critical condition but is alive and intubated at Cornell Burn Center. At this time, there were three NYPD officers and one court officer, so four officers who had minor injuries from their exposure to the fire. They are all fine, they are stable, and they are green tags, which is minor at this time. We were on scene, as the chief mentioned. EMS did treat and transport the patient, and we do have our fire marshals here helping with the investigation at this time.
Good afternoon, everyone. So the male that's involved in this incident, his name is going to be Maxwell Azzarello. All right, he's a male. He's born in 1987. His driver's license indicates that he's from St. Augustine, Florida. What we know from speaking to other witnesses and family members is that he arrived in New York sometime earlier in the week. We have his car being in St. Augustine, Florida on the 13th. So anywhere between the 13th and today, he arrived. We spoke to family members today. They were unaware that he was even in New York. As the fire commissioner stated, he's at Cornell Burn Center right now in likely condition. So the accelerant that was used, it appears to be some kind of alcohol-based substance that's used for cleaning. And that's all we have right now.
Carlos, why don't we go right down the line, left to right, and just we'll decide who's going to take what.
I wanted to ask about security. Obviously, there's a NYPD officer. Are you going to be putting more officers? What's the change in the strategy that the protocol was before?
Listen, Mark, after every incident, we have an after action, and we'll talk about if we're going to add officers or not. But just so you know, we had a lot of officers in the area. It is open to the public to still walk through the park, and so there was no security breach here at all.
Eric Thurston.
The pamphlets seem to be propaganda based, almost like a conspiracy theory type of pamphlet. Some information in regards to Ponzi schemes and the fact that some of our local educational institutes are fronts for the mob. So a little bit of a conspiracy theory going on here.
Rocco.
Chief, any indication that he was here in the park earlier?
No, we're going to go through all August video, but what we've seen so far today, it appears that he walked from Leonard Street, he entered the park, walked into the middle of the park, and then committed the act.
Donald Miles.
Chief, do you speak with the family? Did they give you any other insight into his mental state? Perhaps
very preliminary in dealing with the family so far. We just made notification to them that the incident had taken place.
Right back there.
How concerned are you that somebody was able to get this far in, light themselves on fire? Obviously, you said they're in critical condition right now. How concerning is that with all of the law enforcement around?
Yeah. Thank you. We're very concerned. Of course, we're going to review our security protocols. This gentleman did not breach the security protocols. The park was open to the public. But of course, we're going to look at everything, and with the magnitude of what's going on around right here, we'll reassess our security with our federal partners.
How does that change things?
Like I said, we're going to go back to the command. We'll talk to our federal partners, and we'll make decisions. If we need to tighten up security, maybe we'll shut down the park. This is something that we'll determine once we talk with all our partners, with the court officers, to make sure that with everything going on, the gravity of the event going on right now, we make sure we'll have ample security.
All right, Anthony DiLorenzo.
So from the video and from eyewitnesses, it took a few minutes for the police officers to get their hands on the fire. Was there no FDNY presence already here because of the obvious person inside the courtroom? And is that something that maybe the FDNY wants to revisit in case there is some sort of another emergency like this where EMS or fire without responding immediately, because it took police officers to use fire extinguishers.
So, Anthony, I'll give a piece of that to the fire commissioner, but obviously we're working in partnership with courts, FDNY, all of the city agencies that need to be over here are here. But you got to also remember, the park's open to the public. So there was no reason for anybody to already have a fire extinguisher on standby. Nobody knew that this guy was about to light himself on fire. So 2 minutes is a pretty quick response time to be able to get to a vehicle, get a fire extinguisher, run around, get into the park, and start trying to extinguish this fire. All right. But as far as FDNY resources, I'll let Commissioner Kavanaugh just talk about what she may want to do.
Yeah, as they mentioned, you know, obviously we'll work with NYPD to review what happened, and if an additional resources are necessary, we will place them here. But typically for any kind of major security event, which this is, we have additional EMS resources on scene. Fire only sometimes, there usually is not a reason for that, as you typically would not have next to a public park, but we will work with NYPD to review that. I would have to confirm what time they responded. We'll get back to you, but we do typically in any kind of high security event have more EMS resources on scene because there could be patients for any reason.
All right, we're going to do two or three more. Yeah.
Not everything that you see right here is part of the plan. There's a large security plan for this, and trust me, when we had our meetings before this took place, we met with FDNY, EMS, we met with our court partners, we met with Secret Service, so I'm not quite sure what else you're looking for.
Well, an ambulance, like, on standby.
Yeah, EMS and FDNY are in the area doing this trial as well. And they're totally aware of what's going on, and our response time...
Is an ambulance on standby for the quick. Former president? That's Secret Service
the
protocol.
Man, do we know if the man said anything during the incident?
So you want to talk about?
As of right now, what we're showing is that he just walked directly into the park and began to throw the pamphlets in the air and then lit himself on fire. That could be come out during our investigation. We have a lot of witnesses here. A lot of people are coming forward. We hope if more people come forward, we can put a little more information together. But as of right now, we don't have that he was making any statements.
Tim McFinnis, CBS.
Yeah, we're looking through his social media and what he did online prior, and it appears that he did post something in regards to this event prior to the incident.
Dan Rivoli.
That's going to be my question, but to go off that, I'm on the internet posting for something like this trial, when you're gathering intelligence, is social media something you do look at? And obviously, I think one of the things you're looking at is the subject post saying, I'm the man, you know, paraphrasing, but I'm the man who set himself on fire after Trump.
Yeah, all of his social media is going to be scrubbed. Obviously, we didn't know him prior to this incident. I can talk about the Detective Bureau. We didn't know him prior to this incident. But going back now, part of the investigation, all his social media, any associates, we'll be looking at all of that.
Is there any connection between this guy letting himself on fire and his trial?
At this point, like I said, very preliminary. We don't have that.
Emily.
As of right now, he's considered likely, which means he's very critical. His condition is not good, but as of right now, he's still alive.
Shayna.
Are you aware of any prior disturbing incidents involving this
individual? We're looking through that right now. As 5 minutes ago, before we started this press conference, I didn't see any criminal history in New York.
I know it hasn't been asked yet, but I just want Commissioner Daughtry to step in for a second and just talk about what he did immediately after to make sure that the area is safe.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Shepard. Immediately following this incident, I requested the bomb squad to come. I wanted the bomb squad to search this area for any possible secondary devices. They're actually doing this right now behind me with K-9 checking all the vehicles. As of right now, there has been no additional devices found. There hasn't been any devices found, I'm sorry, in regards to this incident. So we'll be continuing to search this area. And as far as your question about enhanced security procedures, we're going to take that look into this. Maybe we may have to shut this area down, but that's something that we're going to do. We're going to have a conversation when we get back to One Police Plaza. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, last couple.
Can you talk about, just reiterate, what security personnel you do have on site right now?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about specific numbers, but obviously we're working with numerous city agencies and our federal partners over in this area. Obviously, we're working with courts. We're working with the Secret Service. We're working with sanitation, whose building is right here. We're working with FDNY. So there's a lot of city agencies that are part of this, but we won't discuss what number of personnel we have out here. All right, last two.
Right here in front.
We're not going to share a conversation that we have with Secret Service, but everyone involved in the trial inside is aware of the incident that took place outside today. Last one. Carlos, so who do you want? That's on the investigation, but I'll let Chief Kenny talk about that.
Yeah, as of right now, on August camera, we have him walking to the park. That doesn't mean that he didn't either take the train here or come here, via a car. We do have a vehicle identified that's connected with him. We're currently searching for that car.
All right, last one.
All right, last question.
Yes, so the man was seen by multiple people carrying a sign that appeared to be somewhat anti-Trump. And earlier this week, you guys blocked off barricades for Trump supporters protesting and leftists. And I noticed that he lit himself on fire on the Trump supporter side. Do you have any reason to believe that he was targeting Trump supporters?
As I think everybody who stepped up here said earlier, we do not believe he is, this was targeting any particular person or any particular group. We just, right now, labeling it as a sort of a conspiracy theorist, and we're going from there. But the investigation will continue.
He's a nut is what he is. All right. Thank you very much, guys, for putting that up live. All right. So, what can you say? The guy's a nut. You know, I mean, you don't set yourself on fire if you're mentally well. All right. I wanted to bring that to you, though. A couple thoughts just in terms of the security of this, the magnitude of this. This is Lower Manhattan. You have an unprecedented event occurring here. On Monday, the criminal trial of the former president of the United States of America begins. And yeah, it's going to bring a lot of nuts out from everywhere. No doubt about it. But it shouldn't be happening. I mean, that's the bottom line. It should not be happening. It should not be happening. I was saying before, and I'll continue. I'll take a quick break. I'll come back, and I'm going to expand a little bit more on why this case is such a sham and such an affront to the Constitution of the United States of America. And I mean that. It really is. It truly is. And I want to get in some great detail with you. And I would just like to wish Ken a happy birthday today. Ken, Sharon Kay, our buddy on Twitter, she said, Rich, good afternoon. Can you please wish my husband Ken a happy birthday today? He's on the road driving from Philadelphia to North Carolina. Thank you. Absolutely, Ken. Thank you. Sharon's a wonderful woman. You're a lucky guy. Drive safe, buddy. All right, we got a lot more to talk about. I'm going to break down for you why this case is such nonsense in great detail. I'll tell you what Trump said today outside the courthouse. Got the audio for you. And how MSNBC, Nicole Wallace, cut away. Because why would they cover a former president speaking about a trial? How is that in any way, shape, or form newsworthy? Don't go away.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran.
And I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
I'm not sure this song's appropriate, Henry.
What's that?
It's about burning?
Yeah.
Burn out the... You don't think it's a little too soon?
Depends on who you ask. I don't know.
Tad too soon, maybe. Just... Maybe save that one for the 4 o'clock hour. Again, I'm throwing it out.
Well, I got to tie it in with what you're talking about. When you take a press conference on this guy.
Fair point. Fair point. I had my money on putting out fire with gasoline, the David Bowie song. What's that called? Cat. Name of that song again? You know the one.
Yeah.
But I figured it was going to be something inappropriate, completely inappropriate, and something I'd have to reprimand you for. So thank you for delivering. Outrageous. I denounce you.
I mean,
you're hereby denounced.
Yeah, there are much, much worse ones that were considered. I was talked out of by Matt DeSantis.
Thank you, Matt.
There was some that even I found offensive.
Well, thank you for doing your executive producer responsibilities and making sure Henry didn't completely inappropriate, a little subtle inappropriate, but...
Yeah. Some blue oyster cult was nice and subtle. It was nice and cheeky.
It's a tragic, tragic situation. Terrible. When people set themselves on fire. We have more coming out on this guy, and apparently, I guess he sued the Clintons at some point. There's a Substack he wrote prior to setting himself on fire, which I will share with you, and I'll get into that. But look, I mean, this is... I was saying before the news conference here, and I wanted to take it because it's not every day, you know, a lunatic sets himself on fire outside the courthouse where the former president of the United States is about to start a criminal trial. But Article 2 of the Constitution, which I have here in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers, do that, in honor of Rush. No person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the United States. That's it. There's no Gumata clause within Article 2 of the Constitution that says, you know, if a woman comes forward and alleges that you had an affair with her, you have to let everybody know or you can't be certified by the Electoral College. Nothing in there. So what Alvin Bragg is doing is Alvin Bragg now is going above Article 2 of the Constitution. I don't know if anybody else has figured this out but me. It's hard to say. But Alvin Bragg is alleging here that this is something the voters had a right to know about. Now, that's an opinion. That's a philosophical opinion, which is usually decided by campaign people. I mean, I've been in those rooms before where we've had conversations about where candidates have done stuff in their past. Do we want to bring it out there? Are we worried it's going to come up in Oppo research? Is it better to get ahead of it? Those are decisions made by campaigns. There's no requirement, though, that you have to let the voters know all the bad things you've done. Like, there's no bad things you've done clause in Article 2 either. It's like, you got to be 35, you got to be born here, you got to live here 14 years. Oh, and you got to let everybody know about all the bad things you ever did. Did you ever cheat at golf? Did you ever get drunk? Did you buy lots of wine? Do you owe people money? I mean, unless those things are done by statute. I was mentioning to you earlier that they're in New Jersey... And I think there was one other state that had this, but other offices have had similar things. The term freeholder, which used to be a county, it's now county commissioner, but it used to be called freeholder, was because you can only be elected to office if you were free and clear of any debt to your land. So you were a freeholder. That was in the New Jersey Constitution at the time. That's since been changed. Obviously, everybody's in debt these days, but you can't just add things. You can't just add requirements. So if it's not a requirement, then it's not a campaign issue. And here's something else too to note. Even if there was a campaign requirement to do something, like disclose how much you spent on lawn signs, and you didn't do it, you know, the treasurer made a mistake or the campaign didn't file properly, whatever, that's a civil matter. That comes with an election law fine to the campaign, which the campaign has to pay. But that's not a criminal matter. And the only time it becomes criminal is if you steal campaign funds. That's it. Otherwise, if you fail to properly disclose on a campaign report your expenditures, you file an amended report, you may or may not have to pay a fine. And this happens all the time in politics. I mean, I dare you to actually find a politician who hasn't at some point had to file an amended election report at some point. And part of the reason for that is because a lot of times the way that the bills go out and the money comes in, there's this period of time where the quarters cross each other. And so sometimes you have to file amended reports, or sometimes people make mistakes. Oh, I forgot to deposit these checks, but they came in Q2. Let's file an amended ELEC report, whatever it is. Those are civil matters dealt with by the election people. And it's not criminal unless you purposely, intentionally, knowingly withhold information on an ELEC report, on a campaign report. So which is Alvin Bragg's argument, that Trump knowingly withheld this? It should have been on the report, and he knowingly withheld it because to let people know about this would have hurt his chances to be elected. But then in order to argue that, then you then have to prove that it's a requirement to let the voters know. And it isn't. So then it's a matter of opinion. I could argue both ways. I could sit there with you and I could argue in a campaign room why you don't want this to come out and why you would want it to come out. I can give you both sides of the argument. That's what political operatives are supposed to do. Give your boss the best advice, and people disagree, and then ultimately, you know, he or she makes the call. But there's nothing in the Constitution that requires it. There's no Gumata provision where if you have an affair, if there's an allegation of an affair, the voters have to know about it. Or any other sordid allegations you may have done. Cheat at golf, owe people money, you're a compulsive gambler, whatever it is. Those are decisions campaigns make, and that's between you and the candidate. You know, you find out after the fact, or you find out on election day, you might be very unhappy and change your vote. So those are decisions that are made. Candidate gets a DUI, whatever it is. They might hold a press conference and explain it, like George Bush did, if you remember, when he came out and he had a press conference to admit that he got a DUI once. George W. Bush back in 2000 in the campaign. Whatever it is. There's no requirement, though. So now Alvin Bragg has created something extra constitutional. He's created the Gumata Clause of the Constitution, whereby somebody makes an allegation of extramarital affair, and you now have to let the voters know that. And if you don't, then that's election interference. Think about that. Election interference. So he's conjured this up in his head. He's added a requirement to the presidency that is not in the Constitution. I don't know if anybody else has made this point. You know, I mean, to quote Levin, I'll say, I'm sure the backbenchers will all say it by Monday. But no, but really, everybody keeps focusing on the fact that Alvin Bragg doesn't have jurisdiction over federal law. And they're right. He does not. And then also that this is not a federal, it's not a federal crime. And they're correct on that point. But I think even larger than that is this point about the fact that Article 2 of the Constitution lays out what's required to be president. And that's it. So, I mean, Alvin Bragg could argue that, you know, if somebody who's a dumbass like Joe Biden got elected, that it's election interference because he didn't let everybody know his IQ is low. I mean, I guess if I was a prosecutor, I could make that argument. Hey, you didn't let everybody know that you're a moron. I mean, they should have seen it for themselves, considering your years of plagiarism and how you graduated low in your class, even though you lied about having multiple degrees. But since you didn't tell everybody you're a moron, and you won, that's election interference. I could play this game. What Alvin Bragg is doing is so antithetical to the Republic, where a local district attorney gets to add requirements to Article 2 of the United States Constitution. I mean, because if it's not a requirement of the Constitution, then it's a matter of opinion about whether or not the voters should know about it. And if it's not in Article 2 of the Constitution, then it's between the candidate, his campaign team, his family, and the voters to make those determinations. Now, I could argue that if in October of 2016, if after the Access Hollywood tape had come out and Trump had come out and said, by the way, while we're at it, Stormy Daniels also alleges that I slept with her. I never did. But just so you know, now you know everything. I mean, I could have made that argument that would have been a good thing to get it out. Maybe people would have said, well, you know, I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate the fact that you're not holding anything back. I could have made the argument that, well, you know what? Or somebody in the room could have said, yeah, but you know, here's the problem with that. Melania would be really pissed if she finds out about this. So we're not going to say anything about this. Nobody, it's nobody's business. And it's not true. Or it is true. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. The point is, it's nobody's business, but the candidates, his family, and you as a voter. You may care, you may not care. I don't know. I don't know you. You don't know me. I'm saying in the hypothetical, we know each other very well, obviously. But I'm saying in that sense, when I'm in that room advising a candidate, I don't know how voters are going to react to something. You make guesses. You make assumptions. You say, sir, I think if you let everybody know that you had a DUI, it's better if you tell us rather than letting it come out. It's going to come out. You know, if you got into a bad bar fight and you were arrested in college, let everybody know now before it's front page news on the New York Times and they try to make you out to be a drunk and, you know, like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse, God rest his soul, something like that. Why are they remaking that movie? Anyway, I digress. Those are decisions, campaign decisions. But if there's no requirement, if there's no Gumata clause, if there's no you did bad things clause in Article 2 of the Constitution, then it's not required as a campaign expenditure. And the only reason why we have federal election law is not to add requirements to candidates, is that if they use federal election money and there are disclosures that are required, and even if they use their own funds, they have to disclose certain things. But that's not a requirement under the Constitution. And you could spend your own money. You don't have to take matching funds. And that's why those are civil issues. Unless you steal money from the campaign, but that's if you steal money from Walmart. It's a crime. That's not anything new. But taking matching funds is not a requirement to be president. Complying with ELEC is not, or the Federal Election Law Enforcement Commission is not a requirement to be president. You don't have to. And then within the 50 states, I don't know of a single state that says in order for you to get on the ballot in this state, you have to get whatever the signatures are and also disclose if anybody's made an allegation you had an extramarital affair. You know, allegations of affairs can destroy people's lives. They can ruin people. They can ruin marriages. They can ruin children. And we've seen before how men have been falsely accused of this. And I'm sure Donald Trump probably did not want Melania to know. I don't really think he was worried about the voters finding out. I think this was more about his wife than anything else. And I think he probably just said, you know what? She's coming after me because I'm a rich guy. And just make it go away. I don't want to deal with it. I don't think the voters would have cared. I don't think they would have cared one way or the other. But it's irrelevant. It's my opinion. It's irrelevant. Article 2 of the Constitution sets the standards, sets the rules by which you have to follow to become president of the United States. There are rich people and powerful people in this country who are constantly accused of things they didn't do. There are people who are vultures who go after people. Do you realize that there are people out there who make allegations against famous people and they've never even met them before? There are crazy people who make allegations against famous people and they've literally never had contact with that person in their life. But they're nuts. And there's people in your past who come out and have dirt on you. And they come out and they say, well, you know, I see you're running for Congress. Well, I don't want to have to tell everybody about that time in college that you did this. So what do you want? 10 grand? Fine. Sign this non-disclosure agreement and shut your mouth and go away. I said when I get fired by my company, not if, but when. I have it in my contract. There's a period of time where I can't bash them if I want my severance. If I don't want my severance, I can say whatever the hell I want within parameters. I got to read the contract. I don't read these things. That's why I have an agent. I don't read these. I just sign it. You know, whatever. I have to trust her because I don't have time to read. I really don't. I mean, contracts bore me. This is why I couldn't be a lawyer, honestly, because you have to go through contract law, and that bores the hell out of me. I don't read. Nobody reads anything anymore. But, you know, if you get a good attorney who can read that stuff for you, you've got to leg up. And then you should have one that likes to do that stuff, whether it's you're selling your home or buying a home or whatever it is, you know? But a non-disclosure agreement says, we two private parties agree that you will not discuss the parameters of your job. You will not discuss the parameters of why you're leaving. You won't talk about what you saw here. You won't talk about what you said here. That's not, is it hush money? Yeah. Yeah, it's, you could say it's hush money. I see, I'm not offended by the term hush money. I'm not, it doesn't offend me. I don't, maybe it's the Italian jersey thing. I don't know. I'm not offended by it. It's like, is it hush money? Yeah, I guess so. That you want your severance and shut the hell up. Maybe I watched too many mob movies. I don't know, but it seems pretty reasonable. It's like, okay, we're firing you. You're leaving. You can't bash us. I'm going to bash you. I'm going to tell everybody the worst company in the world. Nobody should ever work for you. You suck. All right, well, then we're not giving you severance. Okay, then I'll keep my mouth shut. Okay, fine. Great. Good. We have an agreement. And if you violate the terms of that, if you go out there and trash us, then we're gonna sue you and get the money back. It happens every day in this country. My wife has had to deal with that so many times in the course of her career in human resources. And non-disclosure agreements also apply to things because you have a lot of people who are recruited by companies. So a lot of companies also have, you know, non-compete agreements or non-solicitation agreements. So you leave a company, you can't solicit their, say I left, when I get fired, not if, but when I get fired, I can't go after my advertisers for a period of time. When I launch my next show, whatever that is, I can't go, there's a period of time, whatever it is, a year or something. I can't, it's a non-solicitation. There's a non-compete. I've got 5 months where I can't compete within a certain geographical something or other. What are you saying to me, Henry? Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody else said something to me. But all these things are normal. All these things happen every day in America. And I had to sign an agreement to the Trump campaign saying I wouldn't talk about anything I saw. And I don't. And I didn't. I didn't out myself. Chris Christie outed me. I didn't say I did debate prep for Trump. He did. But we got to go to the rule book here. You know, and this is what I have in my formerly raccoon dog aioli stained fingers. It's the United States Constitution. You don't get to add requirements to that. If Congress wants to debate a Gumata clause, and then the states want to ratify the Constitution to add a Gumata clause, how many articles do we have now? What are we up to? Like 6, 7? What are we up to? Matt DeSantis, do you know? How many articles are in the Constitution? How many amendments, I mean? What are we up to?
I think it's 29.
Oh, okay. So I was way off with 6 or 7. 29. The last one being no law varying.
Sorry,
the compens-
27. I was wrong. 27.
27. I can't do Roman numerals. XXVII. That's 30. Right? XXVII. Isn't that 30?
No. 28. I. Yeah. Did you say three eyes?
Two eyes.
27.
27. All right. I don't know Roman numerals. No law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened. And then I'll add this, Amendment XXVII. Any Gumata or alleged Gumata who comes forward about extramarital relations, if you want to be president, you got to tell everybody about it. That'll be the Gumata Clause of the United States Constitution. I'm going to propose that amendment. Any Gumata or alleged Gumata. Oh, man. It's like, you know, so we got to follow the rule book here. And it really frustrates me. Trump spoke outside the courthouse today. I'll play some of that for you when we get back. I also want to mention to you as well that we are going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, 2 weeks from today. So I want you to come out and see us. All right. We have this manifesto that this lunatic wrote before he set himself on fire. I'm going to share that with you as well as the show progresses. But my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo would love to see you. I was talking to my friend Judith Krupnik today. Look, they're going through a renovation, and it's about time because the dealership, Judith's father started it in the 1960s, and they were due for a renovation. But like anything else, a renovation, whether you're doing your house, your business, whatever, comes with a little bit of inconvenience. So to make that up to you, the fact that the road's getting renovated and so is the dealership, Judith is giving extra special savings for the spring. Now is the time to take advantage of their renovation savings extravaganza. I can tell you firsthand, it's not that big of a deal, honestly. I just picked up my XC60 a couple weeks ago. It was a great experience. Business is great at Cherry Hill Volvo, despite the renovation, despite the road congestion, and they have all kinds of wonderful Volvos in stock to choose from. New Volvos, certified pre-owned Volvos, the S-Class, the XC40, XC60, XC90. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So go see them today. I'd love for you to get there and see my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. They stand with us. You know, we broadcast live every day from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Now, we're, of course, at our studios in Philly, but I'm saying Judith sponsored the studio. So if you're thinking about a Volvo, don't go anywhere but Cherry Hill Volvo, because in the age of cancel culture, she stands with us. And I think as the summer comes, if you got a family, you're going to love that XC90 with that third row to get the kids down the shore. It's going to be really nice. So go see them today. You get extra savings on top of their already aggressive incentives because of the renovation. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, I have the manifesto of the lunatic who set himself on fire. His name is Max Azzarello, a self-described researcher who set himself ablaze. He wrote a manifesto warning of an apocalyptic fascist world coup. And I have it here for you, and I'm going to share it with you at the 4 o'clock hour. I have the full thing, but I'll just give you a little quick headline here. That's what we call a tease in the radio business. You know, I am, as you know, a seasoned radio broadcaster, so I can do things like tease. To my friends and family, witnesses, and first responders, I deeply apologize for inflicting this pain upon you. But I assure you it is a drop in the bucket compared to what our government intends to inflict. Now, this guy is obviously incredibly mentally unstable and unwell. And there's more to this than I can. I have thoughts on this. I've got lots of thoughts that I'll share with you in the 4 o'clock hour. In addition to that, the House is going to vote on a foreign aid package tomorrow. And, you know, I think Tom Elliott on Grabian said it best when he said, it's like we're back in the Bush years again. It's like we're back. We've gone backwards. And Newt Gingrich had some advice for the Speaker, Mike Johnson. He said, you know, stop going to work and shooting yourself in the head every day. I think what Newt means by that is, why don't you realize that your members have priorities here, and those priorities are not about sending foreign aid. It's not Ukraine in particular. It's not about foreign aid. I mean, James Comer right now is speaking on Fox News, and he's saying, I can tell you my constituents don't want to see any more money go to Ukraine. Until the border's fixed, until the border's solved, until America's problems are dealt with, we don't want to see this anymore. But I think what happens to these guys as speakers, I think it's invasion of the body snatchers. You know, they become speaker, and then they're taken, the swamp pulls them in, and then their bodies get invaded. I mean, Mike Johnson was a conservative. Now the guy turns around, and he's the deciding vote on warrantless surveillance under Section 702 of the FISA Act, an act that he railed against for years. It's an invasion of the body snatchers. All right, I got a lot more to say. At 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to share with you the details of this lunatic's manifesto here. And should we be concerned about the safety of the former president and the people of New York City because of this sham of a trial? When it comes to your bathroom, is it getting a little outdated? When friends come over, are you a little embarrassed to let them use the bathroom? If you are, it's time to let Emmons Design Specialists design a bathroom that you will love and one that Emmons will redo in as little as 3 days with custom designs that cater to your unique taste. Imagine an affordable, maintenance-free bathroom with little to no inconvenience to you and your family in only 3 days. That's incredible. Only 3 days. And Emmons has finance options available. Now, I can tell you, we used Emmons in our old house to renovate our bathroom. They did a phenomenal job. Every aspect, every detail was beautiful, and my wife loved it. And there's an old saying, happy wife, happy life. So she was thrilled. Having your bathroom renovated not only brings comfort and quality of life to your family, it is one of the best investments you can make in your home to improve its value. Don't wait for a bathroom that is a blend of luxury and functionality and one that is truly yours. Call Emmons today at 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677 or check out their website at callemmons.com. That's callemmons.com. Let the Emmons team create your perfect bathroom sanctuary while adding real value to your home. That's 856-885-6677 and tell them I sent you.
Rich Scioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.